Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
¡Esa soy yo!
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, this is Teddy Mellencamp, and I'm joined by my friend Emily Simpson for our new spinoff show, Popping Off, where we are digging deep on this season of Vanderpump Rules. So here we are back, another episode of Popping Off with myself, Teddy Mellencamp, and
Emily Simpson, and we are recapping episode 2 of The Valley. Or no, is it?
No, it's episode 3. It's a, you know what? Wake up, Emily.
I know. I'm sorry. Episode 3 of The Valley.
This is why you don't get to do intros.
I will shut up from now on. I will just sit here.
I want you to sit there in front of your natural blue background while I sit in front of my fancy pink one. It's really a lot. I feel like I'm really coming around to The Valley. Like, I really like it.
I like The Valley. There's a lot going on.
I feel like it's really good. I feel like we get to see everybody's crazy, but it's like a natural crazy. Like, I don't think anybody's crazy is...
Not a scripted crazy?
Not even scripted, but like, this is just them being who they are. And they can't even help themselves. Like, there's nothing even performative at this point.
I feel like we could fit right in. Like, we should just buy houses right near them and just kind of wiggle our way in.
I live kind of near them.
I don't.
I mean,
could you just start showing up at farmers markets with your kids and stuff and just see what happens?
I mean, I could. Like, I feel, I just don't, who would I come in as like good friends with? That's going to be the problem. Even if I was
Brittany, you like Brittany.
I feel like I like Brittany, but I don't know. I feel
you like Brittany. You like fair food.
Listen, I like, what's it called? What's the cheese balls called?
Cheese balls?
Cheese. No. Mama's cheese.
Beer cheese?
Beer cheese. Is beer cheese similar to queso? Because I love queso.
I thought queso is just cheese. Cheese is queso is cheese in Spanish.
No, but like queso dip is like you get Velveeta and then you put in Rotel and then you put it in the microwave and it's a little heavenly treat.
Have you Yeah, but I don't know if it's just called queso, because that's like calling like
queso dip. Soda?
Okay. It's so, like, yeah.
Oh, Mama's beer cheese. It's a similar, I guess, according to Google, it's a similar consistency, but the cheese in this instance is made with beer. I would be open to trying it. I need to.
Do you like beer?
I like apple cider beer. I'm not like a lager drinker, but I could have like I think I could have a beer. Like if I'm at a sushi restaurant, I like to have sake and a beer.
Mm, okay,
that's a
Well, you know that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Emily.
I think we should take a field trip to Jax's. I think we should just show up and sit at the bar.
Would you rather go to Jax's or what are the Schwartz's? Schwartz and Sandy's.
I'd rather go to Jax's.
Yeah, me too. And that's closer to my house.
I find Jax to be thoroughly entertaining.
Who would you rather be married to, Jax or Jesse?
Oh, man. I would rather be married to Jax. I'd take him all day long over that guy.
They're both so bad.
They're both so bad.
I mean, both options are just terrible. I mean, even going back to like Jesse doing this to the face. And,
yeah.
But either way, it starts out Brittany, Jax, and Sherry. They're at the farmer's market again. I don't even remember this, but Brittany and Jax go over everything that happened at their girls' night. / guys night. Kristen told the entire group that Janet accused Michelle of being racist and a Republican. I would like a word with production as to why we're getting this fight told in flashbacks. Like, why? I want to see it in real time. Why is this flashbacks?
Yeah, I don't know. I got confused about that too. I thought maybe I missed something and I tried to rewind it.
Mm-mm.
I was like, did I just miss the whole fight and now they're flashing back? And then I realized that that's how they're showing this fight is just in flashbacks.
I think they're saying, Zach said on Nick's podcast that there will be a ton of flashbacks this season. So my guess is these flashbacks are happening because either there had to be a lot of editing to not get somebody canceled.
Probably. I mean, we're throwing around a lot of accusations, a lot of political stuff, a lot of heavy things.
With people that have actually been canceled already. So yeah. Like, it's...
Can you get canceled twice?
I'm sure I could figure out a way to get canceled again.
But if you got canceled once and then they let you come back, do you get canceled again or is there a different word for it?
I think then you're just done.
You're just dead. You're buried.
Like you're deleted.
Deleted. I like deleted.
But this part was a little bit interesting to me. At Jesse and Michelle's house, Michelle decides to FaceTime Janet and ask about the whole thing. Janet denies it, and she's pissed that Kristen would say something like that. Janet thinks this stems from her putting up a boundary with Kristen a year ago. Kristen likely doesn't want Alex to tell the guys, especially Luke, about his side of the breakup either. Kristen isn't the saint she's painting herself out to be.
This seemed like a reach for me.
I like Janet. I don't believe Janet in this circumstance.
I don't believe Janet either. I was so frustrated by this whole argument the whole time because clearly the source of the he said, she said bullshit was Janet, yet no one's asking Janet or talking to Janet.
Also, when the flashback shows Janet at the fight and like they're all talking and she's like,
I know.
I'm like, Janet is eating this up. And then Kristen's like trying. You can tell Kristen's in a panic state. She's like, I can't go after the pregnant girl. So she's like, I'm not going to do this with you right now, Janet. And Janet's like, I haven't even set up my nursery yet. I don't give a shit. Yeah. This is good work. I'm not going back to being an assistant because I just caused all this shit on this show and thank me later.
And yes, but not only did she cause all this shit on the show, not a single person is questioning her.
Mm-mm.
No one.
They're all, I don't know. But also at this point, like Zach, I wish Zach would have just been like, yeah, we were all talking shit. We were all saying this. But the part that was interesting to me was that this was the first time that Jesse and Michelle were able to laugh together in over 3 years and were attracted to one another.
Were they? Well, he was attracted to her. I don't know if it was mutual.
Well, she said, this is the first time I've laughed with him in over 3 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but it was because she felt, in my opinion, it was because she felt he was complimenting her, not as a means to like have sex with her. At that, like, I think she thinks
when he was talking about how she stood up for herself at the party,
yeah,
and like the chair fell over, like that was a big turn on.
And they were both like, it really was the happiest they ever seemed.
Well, clearly, she just needs to be more aggressive. He likes chairs thrown and like yelling.
Well, what about when he said, when we first met, she was in a trench coat naked, and then I poured hot wax on her. And then her response in her confessional about how the situation, she goes, I turned down our first date, and the only reason that I hooked up with him again was because I thought it was going to be a booty call at the end of a girl's night, but now he's a booty call that's lasted blah 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 years. And I was like, yeah.
Well, he said, she said something to the effect of, he's the kind of guy I'd never want to be with. And I knew that. So I called him just for a booty call. And it's been the longest booty call of like my life. I'm like, you married this guy knowing that he was not someone that you would want to spend the rest of your life with, nor procreate with.
I mean, I can say that I married my booty call and I'm grateful I did.
Are you talking about Edwin?
Yeah. We were each other's booty call for quite some time. So like, I do think there's room for that, but it takes work once you get past being each other's booty call. You can't solely raise a family and kids and have businesses and work together and do all these things off just having good sex. It ain't going to last.
No, because they don't have sex.
Especially now. They haven't had sex since they had, is it Isabel?
Mm-mm. Yeah. What is your take on them having adult conversation and cussing in front of her?
Well, I would be lying if I never said a curse word. Like, I've been in the car before and somebody's like cut me off and I've been like, shit.
Yeah.
But I don't have adult conversations about like disputes in front of my kids. Have I accidentally cursed? Yes. I would be lying if I was like, oh no, I've never, it's never slipped out of my mouth. And Dove has never repeated anything after me. But I'm not talking drama
in front of children. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm not going to be like, so-and-so called me a racist and then we were fighting and this, and I haven't been sexually attracted to you in 3 years. Like, I'm not saying those things in front of my kid.
Right.
But I don't know. I during all of this, I'm like, what did we actually sign up for? And how did you find somebody that's a bigger mess than Jax? And how are they friends?
Yeah, they used to model together or something in New York, right? Isn't that how they knew each other? Didn't they share an apartment in New York or something?
That's what they said. I don't know. But Kristen,
don't believe it.
I don't know. I need more flashbacks of that time to really.
I need some modeling photos from that time period. If someone could throw those into the episode too.
And I also need to know, is this modeling like these are print, like you're seeing it in a magazine? Or is this like you're the person standing outside of Abercrombie passing out pamphlets, asking people to come in?
Or you're the person standing outside a mattress store with a 50% off sign spinning it.
But it feels like both Michelle and Janet's reaction to, you said that I'm a racist and a Republican, they both look like they've had this conversation multiple times and they're not willing to have it on camera. Am I wrong on thinking that?
Well, no, I agree. I feel like there's a lot of things that were said and a lot of people said things. And I think everybody's being so careful about what they're saying that it doesn't make sense.
And it's making Kristen look.
And I feel badly for Kristen because I think her only guilt is the fact that she repeated something, but no one else is fessing up and no one else wants to, you know, wants to fess up to anything. So she just keeps taking hits from everybody.
And then she can't even really defend herself. But like Luke is coming in strong trying to defend her.
He is. But did you see in his confessional, he has like those round red circles on his cheeks. Like it looks like someone put a little bit of rouge right here. Do you notice that? He gets those
I didn't even notice that. But do you think that they're going to make it, those two?
No, absolutely not. I mean, they want to have a child together. And the conversation revolves around how he will never live in L.A. and how she will never leave L.A.
Yeah, that's not good.
How is that going to work?
Well, then we get to Nia getting ready to leave for 24 hours to do a brand deal, leaving Danny alone with all the kids. I feel like Nia and Danny are the strings that hold this like shit show together.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they're not necessarily, we're not getting much other than relatability to them. right?
Yeah. Well, it's because, I mean, it's because
they're sane.
I like Danny. I think he's very logical. I think he kind of takes the middle road and just, he makes comments that make sense. Like, he makes sense to me. Nia, I think she took a left turn somewhere and ended up on a reality show, and she doesn't know what happened or where that wrong turn was, but she'd like to go back and maybe rethink that fork in the road, maybe go right.
She actually, I think, might be that kind of person that never watched any of the shows prior to signing up and then is like, shit.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I could really get through this. Then we get Jax at his new bar interviewing potential employees with his three business partners.
I actually enjoyed him trying not to look at the girls' boobs.
I mean, the only thing Jax is invested in is...
I'm not gonna look down. Not gonna look down.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then Brittany and Kristen meet for coffee, and Brittany uses this opportunity to bring up girls' night. Brittany says Janet is really upset with Kristen. Of all people, Kristen is upset. The blame is being put on her, and she was the only one there. I feel like the story is taking too long to get to, and I feel like Zach may have all the secrets hidden under his hair, like one of the trolls. Like, once he lifts it up.
If we just part it a little bit like this,
we would see it and be like, well, no.
What actually happened?
How'd you feel about the life / marriage coach at Michelle and Jesse's house?
I thought he got right to the point.
He's like, y'all are done.
Yeah. He's like, so tell me the last time that you were attracted to him. Never. Okay.
She's like, I'm not interested in answering that question. Yeah. I was like, this is not looking
this
good.
This is not good.
Almost is, it's like going to be how Janet's kid arrives and there's no nursery, not even one thing set up. It looks like the baby nursery looks like Ariana's bedroom. So like things are not going well. But Janet shows him Kristen's Instagram story about feeling disrespected. She doesn't understand how Kristen can feel that way when she's thrown everyone under the bus.
I feel like Janet's the bus driver.
I feel like Janet is the bus driver, but I do think no matter who is wrong or right in any situation, a vague, passive-aggressive social media story is never the answer.
No, it's not, because then you can people can interpret that in any way they see fit to fill their own narrative, and you're just going to get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, like either say exactly what it is that you want to say or say nothing.
See, I'm not one of those vague Instagram story kind of people. Are you?
I think I'm pretty direct. Like, I'm like, no, this person pissed me off, or I'll repost something that bothered me. But I don't know. I'd have to ask other people. But I'm pretty sure I'm quite direct with being an asshole.
Me too. Like, I don't beat around the bush. I don't post like quotes, like, you know, so everybody can be like, what's wrong? What happened?
I can say this. I don't post quotes in hopes that people are going, like, every morning I post a quote, but it has nothing. They're set like months in advance. It has nothing to do with my general mindset that day.
I'm glad you're posting quotes with no meaning for your followers.
That's really what I do. It's who I am. But then Michelle and Jesse are planning out their Capri themed dinner party that will be hosted at an $18.5 million home they're listing.
Is it Capri or Capri?
I've always said Capri, but I think it's Capri.
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 Is that the sophisticated way to say it? Because it's a sophisticated party.
Yeah, it's very sophisticated.
It's very sophisticated. That's why we say Capri.
Capri. I've never been to Capri. Capri.
If you're from Ohio and you're not sophisticated, you say Capri.
Have you gone to Capri? And then are you going to go to Positano? But everyone arrives at this Capri themed dinner party, and Luke is hoping for peace. It's not happening. Luke, there's never going to be peace.
Luke, hello. Come on.
Kristen apologizes to Michelle and asks to speak with her later. Michelle doesn't seem interested at the moment. Now that Michelle's speaking, I like her a lot more.
I do too. I didn't know that she had a voice for the first couple episodes. But now she does. Good for her.
Yeah, I thought she was like Ariel when Ursula stole her little voice thing. Yeah. Like, but then all of a sudden she had, and I like it. I'm interested in what she has to say. I think the reason she wasn't talking is because whatever she has to say is going to be that she hates her husband.
Yeah, so she just chose to take the fifth in life in general. She's afraid if someone says, how is your day going? Instead of being like, great, she'll be like, I hate him. So she just says nothing.
Janet wasn't at the girls' night, so she doesn't know exactly what happened. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. But I think the thing that is lingering on is that they're completely ignoring the initial accusation that Michelle said, don't say gay, was protecting the children. And I'm confused why this isn't the crux of the conversation.
That's what I didn't understand either, because I feel like that's where it all started, but no one went back to that. So I don't know. I have a hard time understanding exactly what was said and the timeline and who said what. All I know is Kristen's getting beat up and all she did was repeat something.
And also, I'm not saying Michelle is anything that she's being accused of. She's dealt with her own shit. I mean, she married Jesse.
Yeah.
She went for it. Yeah. And she's getting her punishment whether or not it happened.
Her life is a daily punishment.
But I do think that Jesse did his homework, because bringing up the reason that Kristen was fired from reality TV.
Yeah.
That was like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he did.
He was like, Jax, move over.
Yeah. Hold my Prosecco.
Hold my colored, what is the jacket? Hold my Picasso jacket.
Yeah. And my Aperol Spritz, please. I'm about to fuck this up. Kristen.
It was nice knowing you, but I'm going to end this situation, even though I'm the biggest douche lord on television currently. Either way, then it ends on a to be continued, and we get into the Valley, season 1, episode 4.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now we are back to talk about episode 4 of The Valley. We're back at Michelle and Jesse's party. Kristen tries to tell Michelle that she protects her, but everyone makes fun of that statement, which we know now by seeing the trailer. Kristen knows something that she hasn't shared yet, which is clearly what she's alluding to. But I have to say, judging by Zach's Pikachu face, he may be guilty of stirring the pot.
Pikachu, is that what you said?
I also wonder how Jax is the one who attempts to be the voice of reason on the show.
Well, I also want to know how during this dinner party that how is Jax not involved in all of this drama? Like there is a dinner party with just things being hurled everywhere back and forth and none of it had to do with Jax or anything he said or did.
Because I think that Jax may not always make the right choices, clearly, but I think he knows that he was also canceled once and he's not like, fucking
he's like, I'm not saying shit.
I am not saying shit on this. I'm going to let my boy Jesse do the dirty work.
Yep.
I am out of it. Yep. Like I just,
he's like, if anyone needs de-pantsed, I'm here. I am that guy, but I'm not getting involved in this.
If anyone wants to talk about not wanting to have sex with their wife, I'll chime in, but that's really where I stand here. But also like the transition from like this kind of drama to then them being with their kids is also hard for me to like process. Like, I'm like, I'm like Joe trying to process stuff. Like, I'm like, what is happening? Cause then we're with Cruz, a speech therapist.
Yeah.
Which like kind of that every parent can relate to that.
I know. I that stuff like that makes me sad because I know as a parent, if your child isn't developing as quickly or they're a little different or, you know, I have twin boys, so I get it. One is like really great at math. The other one isn't. I worry about the one that isn't. So I totally understand.
And you can't help but like there is always going to be that portion of like comparison, and especially I would say for your first child you're even more aware of
you're hyper aware
to anything because it's your first
then the third one comes along and you're
whatever, Dove's four and still shits the bed. It's
have
fine.
Some Hershey kisses for dinner, it's fine.
Oh, you don't want dinner, you want a fruit by the foot, go for it.
Eat 10. Take him to bed with you. You should keep him in your room.
Oh, you want to bring your iPad to your room?
Sure. You want to watch it all night? No problem.
Don't care. I'll still be in at 7:30 to wake you up for school.
And you know what? Brushing your teeth is optional.
Listen, you brush your teeth in the morning, so you're good.
Yeah.
Then Kristen, once again, texting Michelle, saying her secrets are safe.
What does that mean?
I mean,
have you ever texted someone and said, your secrets are safe with me? And then Michelle reads it. So I don't know. If I actually had a secret, I wouldn't share the text message. I don't know. I just don't understand the whole secret safe with me thing.
I think Michelle read it because she clearly knows that her secret is not safe with Kristen.
Well, clearly not.
But that's not the secret. The secret's still coming.
Right.
But we as viewers already know the secret, and that's that she hates her husband. That's no not secret. That she's a Republican.
She's the president of I Hate Jesse Club. That's like her only affiliate.
Yeah, I mean, she just hates him. She hates his gut. His one gut,
yeah.
But they kind of, it's this episode, I feel like, is just more of the same thing over and over.
It is more, it's more of the same conversation going round and round that we don't know exactly who said what, but clearly we'll get to a finale with this conversation at some point.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to get through it and we're going to ruin a marriage soon. So then we're going to have wrapped right through whatever Janet did in this game of telephone, which Nia told us, guys, this is a game of telephone. No shit, Nia.
Welcome to reality TV, Nia. I'm not sure where you've been the last four episodes, but this is what reality TV is built on.
But also, getting back to the kids stuff, because they all go that now they're taking the kids to the fair. There's a lot of fair content here.
There is a lot of, I was like, are there always this many fairs? I actually like the guys taking the kids to the fair. I even like how they film it in slow-mo. Like they're like walking through the fair with their sunglasses on, like pushing their strollers.
Yeah. It's cool. Felt like a scene from The Hangover, but they actually have real kids with them.
Right.
But is there something that biologically interferes with a man's ability to put a car seat into a car? Kristen and Luke are on a date conveniently at a place next to Sir. Kristen thinks her friends feel threatened that she is a hot 32-year-old boyfriend with a big penis and a high libido.
And rosy red cheeks. That's how I would describe Luke, Colorado.
I like that she's into her boyfriend. That's great. That's great news because it could be the father for children. But what I am confused about is when Brittany and Danny are at Kristen and Luke's apartment setting up a romantic night for the two of them. I thought it was going to be a proposal. What's happening in there? Well, I don't know if I nodded off or what happened, but like,
it's just a massage table and roses.
But why?
I don't know.
Is Luke a massage therapist?
No, I don't know.
I couldn't grasp why this was happening. And then
I don't know, something happened with the dog, Jill, like the big German shepherd. I think she ate some of the roses and then shit everywhere is the way I understood it.
Well, that's why Luke couldn't come to the party.
Because he was cleaning up dog shit?
Yeah, Kristen said it's because the dog has diarrhea. And I'm like, probably because he ate the like massage oil.
Or all the candles.
Or the massage table. Like that is, who needs a massage table if no, like bring in a sex chair if you want, but why are you bringing in a massage table if you're not a massage therapist? I cannot understand. I think it was solely a reason to show that other people were making an effort that Brittany had to participate in when Jax refuses to make an effort with Brittany. That's my guess.
And he stares at other people's boobs and openly talks about how he's not attracted to his wife.
When do you think, I don't know. When do we think the last time that Jax made Brittany feel special or sexy or?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Then they're in the gala. Michelle walks in. I don't know that I've seen a hotter female on reality television anytime recently. And Jesse looks a hot freaking mess.
He looks like a jockey.
No, a jockey would be a step up. Like it would make I don't even understand. And then he's like, he looks at all the other guys and he's like, this is a real coat. But also
a dinner jacket.
This is a real dinner jacket, but I didn't really understand what Danny was talking about either when he was like, I don't want to overshadow everybody with my look. I'm like, you're wearing a black suit.
Was he being facetious?
I don't think so. I think it's because he chose to wear a tie.
Where does one get a jacket like that?
I don't know. Maybe we should ask Ryan from Orange County because I feel like he would have worn it.
Yeah, well, I don't know because I feel like Jesse's jacket, even
was
though
expensive,
was expensive. Yeah. So even though it was not a great look and he reminded me of a jockey, I still figure it was something bougie and expensive.
Yeah, I do think it was an expensive coat. Even though it was a mistake, it was expensive.
It was an expensive mistake.
It was like their marriage. Then Michelle tells the story. We kind of already got through this booty call stuff. But we get into another conversation where they all decide to walk outside. Kristen and Michelle and Jesse and Zach, they have a conversation. Luke's not there because he's cleaning up dog shit. I think Kristen may have been too drunk to have this conversation at this point in time.
Yeah, I didn't really understand. Well, first of all, I didn't understand why Jesse got so heated and had to go back inside and just, you know, bang around inside by himself.
He just went in to like tell production, I need another skinny Marg or Aperol Spritz or whatever it is that he wanted.
Yeah. And he just kind of huffs and puffs around and then he comes back out.
And then they finish it up and then it's coming up on the valley. Michelle tells everyone she doesn't poop in front of Jesse. And Nia realizes she may have high functioning postpartum depression. Which if I mean, at this point, I can't even imagine what she's going through with so many little kids filming a reality television. Like that's twins is a whole nother game. And then she's
I've been in that position. Annabelle was 24 months old, when I had twins. So I had three that were two and under. So I don't even remember that time period. It was a blur.
That's what I was going to say. Like I can't really even imagine. And also, I want you to think about where your life was at that point in time. Like, were you living in like an apartment and like hustling? Like, it was.
No, I was living in this big, large house I have right now.
Yeah. That's
and I wasn't working, but I was not filming a TV show. So, I know what it's like to film a TV show. So, if you add the TV show that I know what that's like to newborn twins plus a 2-year-old. I don't know how she does it. And I think that's why she's not like a main character. She just doesn't have the energy for it. She doesn't have main character energy because she's trying to survive.
And I think she will. I think once she gets through like this, I think having a babysitter come for your like small little children while you go to film and fight feels very different than like when they're toddlers, then you feel much more comfortable during the show.
I mean, my children are older now, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, they're fine. They can understand these kind of conversations.
That's
but
right.
I do need to know, do you poop in front of Shane?
No, never. And that's not because of me. That's because of Shane. He is like, he likes a division between anything that has to do with the bathroom. He doesn't even like it when I pee with the door open. He gets really upset and he comes up and he shuts the door.
But do you have two toilets in your bathroom or do you go to a different one?
No. So we have a large main bathroom in the primary bedroom. And like he has his sink over here and mine's over here. But then there's one toilet, but it's enclosed. Like it's in its own room. It's not just like in the middle of the bathroom.
But your butt does ultimately poop on the same toilet that your husband's does.
It does, but he just doesn't want to know about it, hear it, see it, smell it, like nothing ever.
See, now I kind of wonder about me and Edwin. What we talk about it.
I don't know. Do you think it enhances your relationship or it's detrimental?
It doesn't. We kind of enjoy, like, we kind of just, I'll be like, what, either one of us will be like, it's not going to be a great morning. I didn't get to go. Or, you know, like it's just a part of our life. But I've always talked about poop.
Always? Like how detailed? Are you like, man, that was a big one. You should have seen that one.
No. Like Dove will be like, Mom, did you see it was a banana size? And I'm like, Dove, that's too much information. But like ever in my entire family, like my sister, my brothers, that whole portion of my family will be like, I got to go do my favorite thing. And that's just like common.
That's keyword.
I did a tough mudder run this weekend. And guys, up until the day I did it, I thought about backing out. But you know why I didn't? Accountability. Because I had others from my All In by Teddy community pushing me, supporting me, and ultimately completing the race with me. That is the power of what All In can do and what I know we can do for you. So if you're stuck, if you are afraid, if you don't know how to get your health and wellness on a path forward, we can help. And if you use code POPPINGOFF, POPPINGOFF, I am giving you $50 off any program. So whether it's strength training or weight loss, head to allinbyteddy.com and use code Popping off, and let's get you and your goals in check.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get into Vanderpump Villa season one, episode two, recap and three. I had to get Matt and George to send me pictures of everybody so that I can remember everyone's name.
Oh, so you have like cue cards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I'll just do the best I can.
Oh,
I'm just going to wing it.
Because I didn't do this first episode pod with you, I need to know who you think is likable from this show.
Who do I think is? Well, it depends on which episode we're at.
No, just in general. This is a blanket statement.
Well, there's only a few that I actually like stick out in my mind so far. I mean, I like Telly a lot. I think she's very likable, even when she's crazy, because she brings it back down and she's reasonable. And what's the one, the blonde Hannah? I like Hannah. Hannah's a lot. She's very extra, but I like her. And I like Priscilla. She's Brazilian. I like her. She's like the one with the spread eagle one.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have their little like cue cards, and this is what they say. Mm-hmm. Hannah says, serves the seduction. Marciano says, delivers the drama. Eric, who we just saw his police report, manages the chaos. Telly shakes up trouble. Andre pours on the charm. Grace airs the dirty laundry. I want to know how Grace and Emily are the housekeepers.
And Grace is the youngest one, right? And her dad's a pastor.
And then she cries about the makeup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Priscilla dishes the dirt. Gabriella, who I like, I think she's likable, gets the party started. Mm-hmm. Anthony, the chef, who I was sure was like my age, and then they panned up his age and he was very young. I was
like, what is like 25?
He turns up the heat, and then Caroline stirs the pot, and then Steven spices up the soirees.
That's a soiree. That's another sophisticated word.
It's above, you know, it's, I mean, I don't know.
It's another way to say party.
I don't even know that we need to fully break down all of these episodes, because there's two. First question, do you like it?
I do like it. I still like the Valley better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like it's just the same. It's going to be the same formula every time, but maybe not. I don't know.
I know. I wonder, until other people start hooking up other than Marciano and Hannah, I wonder how we're going to move forward. Like, us being concerned on which girls cross their legs and which they don't. I have to say, I do not think that, is it Priscilla? I don't think her legs were spread eagle.
They weren't. Yes, she just, her knees were open, but I felt like her legs were crossed, but her knees were open. But I feel like the camera, did you see the camera? Like, they were making sure that they were showing Marciano, like, looking down.
But I don't even, I don't know. But I mean, even at the dinner where, when Telly pushed Marciano, Gabrielle goes into like calm them down, and her, it's all about the guests having this nice dinner. It's a lot of like chaos about movement when ultimately it's three locations. You're either on the lawn, you're at the bar, or you're on the gravel. Like, it's not brain surgery here. I'm pretty sure you're going to be in one of those three spots.
And how many times has Lisa said, don't drink, and they just all drink?
Well, they all, but also, do they not realize they're being recorded? I really, there's the ballroom too. Sorry, the ballroom.
Yeah, there's another location. There are four.
Which group of couples have you, I mean, which group to enter the villa do you like the most?
As in the guests?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. The first couple that did the surprise proposal, I don't really feel like you got to know them very well.
That's the thing. I feel like, well, also I recognized one of the guys who's done my hair before, which gave me some red flags. Like, I was like, how organic is this show? Because you used to be Laura Rigetti's assistant, and now you're the guest of Vanderpump Villa.
Oh, was he one of the guests that was with the couple that was getting engaged?
Yes.
Was he her hair guy?
I don't know. I texted Laura and I said, I don't know if I'm losing my mind or not, but like, is your old assistant on Vanderpump Villa? And she's like, I haven't watched it yet, but yes. But I was like, looks like sound, but he didn't say any words, but it, I was like,
it's well, fun note, when in the next episode where Harlan gets her hair done for her butterfly ball and Patrick's doing her hair, that's who did Gina's hair and makeup for our first reunion, season 13 of Real Housewives of Orange County.
That was not the year that she got the heat about the
probably
hair.
Was.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Is this Patrick that did?
That does Lisa's hair.
Well, he always uses a bump it. I love him, but I've seen that bump it so many times. He plugs it right in and I'm like, no. I do. They go on these outings. They wear matching outfits. Each day is a new matching outfit. If I wore that purple tight lycra shirt, the way that I would be pitting out would be unbelievable.
I like the little cute dresses, though.
I do, too.
Waitressy dresses. Those are fun.
I think that I think there's parts that are really fun. Marciano trying to become Jax Taylor is not sitting well with me.
You think he's trying too hard. Like, you think he's just acting like he's not being himself. He's just trying to be the number one guy in the group.
I think he's trying to be the number one guy in the group. If he's not, and Hannah is really in love with that guy, I really want to have a conversation with Hannah and be like, please explain it to me. Like, he is the worst. But then she's proven that she is also the worst.
So maybe it makes sense.
It could make sense. I want to know. I do love how Lisa like pops in and then she's like, you know what? I'm so busy running my other businesses. I have to come and go. So it's why I have to leave Eric Thunderpants.
Eric Thunderpants will be in charge.
Well, I think between Eric Thunderpants, who really has no style with planning events or doing anything, and Marciano wanting to be Jax but missing insight and even a sense of humor, it doesn't bode well for him.
No. But here's my question about Eric Thunderpants. The entire episode, this last episode, all he talks about is how he has to do everyone's job. But what is it that he's doing that is actually everyone's job, other than complaining that he's doing everyone's job?
But do you think, I mean, agreed, but also do you think he's talking to himself or he's talking to production?
I don't know who he's talking to, but he says it multiple times.
And also, do you think that Priscilla regrets that episode one, she wanted to make out with him in the pool?
I definitely think so. She was like, I called that one wrong.
About night one. First impressions can be very wrong.
Exactly.
Lisa, you know, having the conversations with Telly and trying to really invest in the relationships. Like, I do like some of it, but I also am like, I'm trying to remember the last like trip that I went on where I hung out with, like, where all the people working at the house or the event or whatever it may be hung out with the guest the entire time. It just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen. But this is the part I don't understand. Is that the formula of this show? Every time there's new guests that check in, there's like four guests and then the staff hangs out with them the whole time.
And then I think there's going to be makeouts with the guests is my guess, because there's not enough of them that seem that they could be interested. I mean, I feel like the pastor's daughter is going to have a little bit of an issue because something's going to happen. Then there's the other girl that's currently the housekeeper that wants to take Telly's job. So we're going to deal with that. Like, there's going to be some hierarchy type things.
Right.
But I don't really know what else we're going to get. I mean, the only current relationship, I mean, I didn't personally care that the chef burnt her croissant because she forgot about it.
Yeah. And I didn't understand why Marciano got so mad about it and refused to help her take the croissant out of the oven.
Like, also, it wasn't like she didn't have the recipe to make something. She just forgot something was in the upstairs staff oven.
Right. But I did think it was very mature that he put it in her bed.
But also, why is he so offended by that?
I don't know.
The amount of times that I've burnt popcorn and everyone in my house just has to deal with me forgetting about it.
I guess it's because we don't know that, because we all know you're not a chef.
Oh, okay. So, but if I was a chef, if I accidentally forgot something and made a mistake with something like heating up a croissant or popping popcorn, you'd be offended?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Me neither.
I might put it in your bed, though. I would do that. I mean, I'm just going to be honest.
Do you think that at the end of this season, we're going to see Hannah and Marciano together, or shit's going to get really bad?
Well, if we see them together, the question is how long will it last before he screws somebody else?
Well, we already know in like scenes to come that he's going to hook up with a guest.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And why is he the only one that's going to hook up with a guest? What do you think is going to happen with Andre? Because he's really nice.
I think he's so sweet. He deserves some nice girl.
But he already said Priscilla is not his type. And then the other chick, the pastor's daughter, she's into him too. I feel like there's going to be some.
I actually cried a little bit when Andre talked about how he didn't have parents. I actually got a little teary eyed.
I think I missed that part. What does that say about us?
I didn't miss it. I cried.
I know. Now I'm trying to remember.
When he went in Lisa's office because they filled out the guest cards.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the guests said they liked Telly Andre. Then Telly left and he started crying and she's like, why are you so upset? And he's like, because I don't really have like parents to share that with. And I felt that.
Yeah. And he said, like, I always want like the approval of others, and the fact that I was chosen as the first pick is you. Yes. I did feel emotional about that. But I didn't necessarily feel emotional about the fact that the relationships on Vanderpump Villa make the Valley relationship seem aspirational.
Well, there's really no relationship so far other than Marciano and Hannah. So that's the basis for relationships on this show.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the third episode that we're recapping, Eric is talking to himself again. I wonder if he's, you know, we've talked about, is it to production or is he drinking or is he batshit crazy? I also want to know like how this casting process works, because you have to remember they're all going to like a remote look, not a remote location, but they're all going to a location. They're not in their setting of where they live. So
it seems like there was a casting call in Vegas.
Right. That's what I was thinking. But is Eric Funderpants from Vegas?
he's like from Missouri or something. I don't know.
But the drama between Eric and Steven, don't care. Don't. We can keep talking about it. I'm not worried about it. I, to be honest, I don't care if the tables on the gravel, the patio, the ballroom, none of that shit matters to me. But I also don't like planned parties. You do that well. I don't. So like for me, I'm like,
yeah, but I don't understand why. Do you feel like Eric as a manager, the chateau manager? I feel like the best way to get respect from your employees is by earning respect. And I don't think he acts like that. I think he demands respect, which makes everyone repelled by him.
I think he's like trying to pretend that he's Matthew McConaughey and he's not.
I also wonder if there is a memo or something went around that said that they could only button their shirts up two, but not three.
Yeah.
Three buttons up is way too much.
No, like you have to see the man cleavage in order to work at Vanderpump Villa.
I feel like that was probably the only criteria. Please put this shirt on and only button the first two buttons. Okay, you're hired.
I also want to know why everybody on this cast has an aversion to drinking from a glass. Like they're all drinking from a bottle all the time, whether it's wine, booze, like they're just pouring it into their mouth. Even the episode one where Priscilla and Funderpants are like, you know, having their swim, they're drinking wine from the bottle. And then the other ones are drinking like the other, like the bartenders and everybody else, they're taking shots from the bottle. I'm like, what's wrong with cups?
I guess because they're not supposed to be doing it. So if you actually pour it in a cup, that takes longer.
And then there's evidence. Yeah. I guess that's a good idea. We'll decide if we're going to keep watching Vanderpump Villa. So far, I liked it more before I heard from others how much they disliked it, because I just am fair weather like that.
You're just easily persuaded.
Yeah, I can't help it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So should we continue to recap it, or should we just stick to the Valley and making fun of Jesse?
Yeah. I mean, the Valley and Vanderpump Rules, do we stick with that, or do we need to delve in to Vanderpump Villa further?
That is the question.
Let us know. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.